Grace be with you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to study the theme, Making Friends for God, the joy of sharing in His mission. Lesson 8, Ministering Like Jesus. Our memory text, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Matthew 9, verse 36. Jesus' attitude towards people. Jesus always looked for the good in others. He drew out the best in them. We humans normally seem to look for the bad things in others. Have you heard what he has done, what she has said, and so on? We are interested in mistakes, in calamities. Look at the news. It is not reported how many husbands have kissed their wife in the morning before they left for their work. But if a husband takes out his knife and murders his wife, this will be reported. We look for the bad things, not for the good ones. And Jesus always looked for the good in others. The Pharisees and scribes, they were different. They were hypocrites. For example, for the Sabbath day, they had a list of activities you were not allowed to do. But you were allowed to make you travel by boat. Because when you're out in the sea, you can't anchor and stop when the water is so deep below you. But on land, you could only move a short distance on Sabbath, according to the Pharisees, not according to the Bible. And what to do when you want to take a longer journey on Sabbath? Traveling on water is allowed, so they put a sack filled with water on the back of the donkey, and then they rode on water, not on the donkey, because there was water in between. Hypocrites, you are hypocrites, Jesus said. And Jesus was the opposite. He always looked for the good in others. He was different. And he tell to people, you are the salt of the earth. Oh, this is something that honors you, although you are only a few, but you are very effective, like salt. It's only a little bit, but you taste it. So we are the ones that change something in society, although we are few when we are followers of Christ. It's because we are salt. And he said of himself, I'm the light of the world. And then, you are the light of the world, Matthew 5, verse 14. This is an honor, isn't it? If Jesus is the light, and he says, you are the light of the world, too. So Jesus looks for the good in others. And it's good if we look at others as Jesus did. Jesus' treatment of people. In Matthew chapter 8, from verse 5 onwards, we read, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him." Capernaum, on the northern shore of Lake Galilee, the city in which Jesus was most of the time. And that centurion, so one of the Roman officers, comes to him. Centurion means he has at least 100 soldiers under his charge, under his command. And what does this centurion want? "My servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." Okay, "I will come and heal him." "Oh no, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof." Jesus is a Jew and he is a Roman officer. So for a Jew, he will not enter a heathen home. And this officer, he shows understanding for that. And then he says, "But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." You are able to do so. And he makes an example. "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, so not to the centurion, but to his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith." No, not in Israel. Interesting. A Roman officer, like Cornelius. Interesting, isn't it? That's how Jesus thought about people. And he was willing to heal a soldier, a Roman soldier. He was willing to heal. Or when we look in Mark chapter 12, at this scribe who has a question. And there we read, verse 28 in Mark 12. "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, Jesus and the Sadducees, and perceiving that Jesus had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all?" It is a question in his heart. What is number one? So he does not want to know the number one of the Ten Commandments, but the number one in importance. And Jesus answered, "The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, you have said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more," and now an interesting aspect follows, "all this is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." To a scribe, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." Jesus always looked for the best in man. Jesus' healing ministry, part one. In Jesus' days, as nowadays, people became ill, seriously ill. And Jesus was the one who healed them. Whenever someone was brought to him, or stepped up to him by himself, if he was still able to, he would heal whoever came. In Matthew chapter 9, we read the story from verse 1 onwards. "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city." That's Capernaum. "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy." And this is very interesting. Jesus sees the transporters, and he sees their faith, and then he talks to the one people who is lame. "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins be forgiven thee." Son. I think this person was older than Jesus, and Jesus says son. They are all his kids, his children. "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven thee." But the scribes and Pharisees, as they hear this, they think by themselves, "This man blasphemes." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think you evil in your hearts?" They think evil. Jesus looks for the good in others. And they think evil in their hearts. That's the difference. And then he asked them, "What is easier to say, your sins be forgiven, or to say, arise and walk?" Of course it's easier to say your sins are forgiven. you don't see the outcome of that. But if you say, "Go and walk," and the person can't, then everybody sees you are a liar. You're not able to do anything. You shouldn't have said anything at all. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the sick man, "Arise, take up your bed and go unto your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Why did Jesus act like this? He could have just healed him. He knew the heart of this lame man, and he knew he needed forgiveness of the sins much more than to be healed outside. The flesh, yeah, it's fine when it is healed, but it's much more important that your soul is healed, that your sins are forgiven. And when we have a look at this woman who could not stop the bleeding in her body, when she touched Jesus' clothes, he turned around and asked, "Who has touched me?" "Who has touched me?" So many people around. And Peter said, "Lord, what's the problem? Everybody moving, and we are so many, and what's the matter?" And Jesus said, "No, not such a touching. I feel power has gone out from myself." And he looked at this woman, and she came and fell down in front of his feet. And he said to her, "Your faith has healed you." Your faith, not the touching, the faith. Trusting Jesus. Jesus' Healing Ministry, Part 2. In Mark, Chapter 1, we read, "There was a Sabbath day, and then when the sun set down," the Sabbath was gone, Mark chapter 1, verse 32, "and in the evening when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning," so it must have taken a long time during the night, because they came when it became dark. "And in the morning," verse 35, "rising up a great while before day," so it was still dark, he had slept only a few hours, "he went out and departed into a solitary place." What for? "And there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for you. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth." Now imagine, somebody comes to you and says, "They are all waiting for you, come. Many, many people are there waiting for you." Yeah, I would get up and would accompany them. "They are waiting, so I come." They are waiting, and Jesus says, "Let's go to another town." In the meantime, in his morning worship, in his silent time with his Father in heaven, he had got new orientation. "There, to this village, there you go." And he went. Although they were waiting in the former city. This is Jesus. He is different. And when we have a look, so a summary of Jesus' ministry, we read this in chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Teaching, preaching, healing. These are the three aspects of Jesus' ministry. Teaching, preaching, healing. If we think of professions for these verbs, teaching, teacher. Preaching, preacher. Healing, healer. Medical doctor. And if we think about institutions, teaching, teacher, school. Preaching, preacher, church. Healing, healer, hospital. In our society, schools, hospitals, churches, they're just there. There is no discussion. Should we stop with teaching or healing and so on? It's there. It's part of our life. Little ones have to be educated. Sick people want to be healthy again. And we need something for our soul, therefore churches. These three elements are the main elements of our human existence. And Jesus worked for these elements. What matters to Jesus? At the end of his ministry, at the end of his ministry of 3 years and a half, we are reported several parables, stories of Jesus. In Matthew 25, we have the story about the 10 virgins. These are people who wait for Jesus. They have lamps. That's the holy word, the holy scripture. And these lamps are burning because they are filled with oil, and oil, a symbol for the Holy Spirit. But they have not enough, not all of them have enough Holy Spirit. So people who are waiting for the Lord, not all of them are saved. Because not all of them have enough Holy Spirit. This is an important aspect. They need more Spirit, being fulfilled with the Spirit. And the next parable about the talents, one gets 5, the other one 2, and the next one 1. And the one with the 5 doubles, and the one with the 2 talents doubles his amount, and the one with the 1 makes the hole, puts it in, and covers it. And this one is a bad one in Jesus' eyes. He has not multiplied his talents. And the others, they are praised for their work. They have multiplied. They have grown. No, the last one, not at all. And then this story about the last judgment, when the sheep are separated from the goats. And then Jesus says that those on the right side, what have they done? I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. And you said, oh no, we've never seen you before. And then he says, what you have done unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. What a message. You have done it unto me. So Jesus identifies himself with the least of society. These are people who are hungry and thirsty and doesn't have anything to dress, and they are homeless and strangers. So they're the least in society. But Jesus has a look for them. He looks at those who are neglected. And he looks if those who are neglected, if there is anyone who takes care of these neglected people. And he says, you have done it for me. And that's interesting how Jesus sees people. He looks into the inner mood. And therefore, what matters to Jesus? What is important for him? Your love for God and your love for the people. And if this is in the right mood, everything else will fall. And if this is not correct, the rest will not be correct either. So, let's put first things first, as Jesus said. Summary. Let's have a look at this piece of art, this painting of Maximilian Janče about the Last Supper, here on my side. We see Jesus with two of his disciples, especially one disciple is here in the center. At his Last Supper, Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. They were shocked. And they ask each other, is it me? Only one disciple said nothing. He did not ask, is it me? And Jesus said, and this is important, when he was asked, who is it? The one who takes his bread and dips it into the dip sills. And it is the one who meets my hand in the dip sills. And then he said, it's the one whom I give the piece of bread. Why so? Why didn't he just say, when washing Judas' feet, to say, you are the betrayer. Why are you going to do this? Nothing. He opened a chance for Judas to say it by himself, to confess it. And Jesus tried to lead him to confession. But Judas did not take the chance. And in the end, he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Here, Jesus takes this piece of bread and says, it is the one whom I will give this piece of bread. He's the traitor. So this was the very last chance. Five times, five chances. Five times Jesus opened a chance for Judas to repent, to confess, to turn around. And he was nearly there, but only nearly there, and not exactly there, like King Agrippa. He was close. Close to the point of conversion, but not fully. And here in this picture, this painting, this piece of art, we see Jesus' love. He did everything, everything that there was a chance for Judas to make the turnaround. Everything. This shows me something. Jesus isn't interested in damning you. He wants to save you. He even wanted to save Judas, although he had already gone to the high priests and had received money. And he was willing to wash his feet. Whew. Oh, that's something that impresses me a lot. And Judas, when Jesus washed his feet, was on the point of confessing. But then his pride came again. And he continued his course, the wrong course, to hell. It was his pride. What about you? Has Jesus touched you? And you were nearly there, telling him things you haven't told anyone yet? Tell him now. It will be good for you.